To a people searching for their way in the world, God says through the prophet Micah, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God?" It's as if the Lord was saying, "This is your story. This is your song." And likewise, to begin this year, I have wanted to set before us three intentions for this year. Not New Year's resolutions. Those were already broken and done, yes? Not institutional core values. Have you ever sat in one of those meetings? Not a mission statement. But three spiritual intentions for our community toward God and one another as a church. Each of these is rooted in Day Spring's special history, is an important part of who we are as a body, and each in various ways is a growing edge for us as we together with Day Spring take our next steps. Three intentions. The first two we considered way back before Ice Storm 2026, so I don't assume that you remember any of it. The first is hospitality. We might remember that hospitality is, on one hand, acts that make someone feel welcome in your home or in your space. Gesture and acts of warmth and welcome, friendliness, inclusion. Even more, though, Christian hospitality is a way of being in the world. Christians are people called to receive neighbor and stranger with open hands and not clenched fists, even when we're tempted to clench fists. We are people who are formed to be ready to receive fully and give generously, or at least we pray to learn to do so. We come with acceptance of our vulnerability, or we pray to do so. And all of this is key. We aren't just receiving the other into my place on my terms. We're open to the gift the other brings. We receive all as Christ. Remind us that Francis of Assisi, who I've turned to each week, experienced a transformation in his inner being the day he encountered a leper and could not turn away from him. He despised them and avoided them, but on this day he could not avoid the interaction. And God changed him that day from one who despised the weak and the ill to a person who was known by his love. How are we open to God encountering us and changing us through the other? We remember God's ultimate hospitality to his people. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so this is our first intention, I pray, renewed this year, to learn again to give and receive, just as we do at the Eucharist, just as we do in relationships, hospitality given in whatever measure, even the smallest measure, is a spirituality of resistance to that which separates and divides us from communities of grace. Our new building is an expression of and space for and a prompt to a renewed spirituality of hospitality. Our second intention is participation, and we all know that church is not a theater that we come to for performance. It's not just a rehearsal of some old stories that might encourage us or might shame us. Church is an active, breathing, living organism. It's an ecology, a web of relationships in Christ, and you're a part of this. You're an important part of this, a vital participant in a way of life the world desperately needs to be lived with conviction and courage. Baptists have done this part pretty well some of the time. A Baptist church is a local gathered body of believers in Christ, bound together in the Holy Spirit, embodied, enacted. If you've been baptized, you have been baptized into a new life in such a shared community, which means you have a role. you have an active, important role in the lives of those with whom you share this community. And again, turning to Francis, we remembered his story of the day he turned to Scripture and found there, as if guided by the hand of God, instructions from Jesus to sell what you have, share with the poor, take up your cross, and follow me. Francis that day felt the words of Scripture as the word of God speaking to him and laying a claim on his own life. He didn't read all this and say, well, that's interesting. I wonder what synoptic source that came from and what sociology of early Christian communities was reflected in communal resistance to the power of empire by their communal commitment to one another. He said, childlike, this is a word of God to me. I will follow him. It was personal. Participation is personal. Church isn't about buildings, and we're not about the new building. We're a people whose common life is lived out in buildings we have and the one we'll have and in natural spaces and in the community in North Waco and in Woodway and the university campus and each of your neighborhoods and each of your workplaces where the mission of Christ is being lived out and on and beyond all these places. We each have the stories that we're living. And thanks be to God, they intertwined in some beautiful and some hard ways. But these stories are interwoven in a community of grace in which we are participants. So those are the first two intentions of our life together, hospitality and participation. And we can think of these aligned with the first two of the famous trio in Micah 6:8, do justice and love kindness. And Micah, the people made a grand gesture before God. All right, God, what sacrifice do you want from us, they asked. Do you want a prized year-old calf? Do you want 1,000 rams? Do you want 10,000 rivers of oil? Do you want my firstborn? God replies, what does the Lord require of you? He's already told you. But do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. We do justice to our calling when we take active participation in the ministry of Christ and the lives of those around us. We love kindness when we extend hospitality to a neighbor or a stranger. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God is an intention to contemplation. Contemplation made possible by hospitality and kindness. Our third intention is contemplation. Contemplation is an embrace of the foolishness and weakness of God, which is wiser and stronger than anything we can manufacture or we can organize. Contemplation is the path of those who pray to be made pure in heart, that they may see God. It's not so much learning a new prayer method when, frankly, we're already struggling with the ones we think we already know. It's becoming aware of God who's contemplating us. Think about that phrase for a moment. Contemplation is becoming aware of a God who's already contemplating you. Prayer begins from a reorientation to this good truth. So if hospitality is God's kindness through us, and participation is God's justice through us, contemplation is God's prayer through us. St. Paul's words to the Corinthians encourage this posture of humbleness. We listen before we speak. We pray before we decide. We seek God before seeking our own will. We embrace silence before filling the world with more noise. We act in conviction that Christ is, that Christ crucified. In the most well-known story of his conversion, Francis sat in silence in a little rundown chapel, before an old icon of the cross. He sat with Christ crucified, and he listened. He'd been prideful. Now he was made humble. Life can do that to you. Through injury or illness or rejection or conflict with loved ones or running up against your limits or failures and frustrations where you thought you'd have success, life can hand you a full measure of I'm worthless. But God hands you a fuller measure of I am with you. You are my beloved. And so, as you may have sat in an empty chapel pondering life's troubles, or in your living room alone and afraid, or lying awake in the middle of the night, Francis sat in silence in the San Damiano Chapel just outside of Assisi. And there, in the silence, before the icon of Christ crucified, he heard the word of God. Francis, rebuild my church, for it is in ruins. I don't know that we're promised to always hear a word from God like that when we pray. I don't always hear a word from God like that when I pray. But the intention is there on our part. The intention is there to enter the living presence of God, trusting whatever happens and wherever God leads. Francis heard a word, repair my church, for it is in ruins. And he did. He got it. And he soon realized that God intended more than a little church construction project. Nothing against little church construction projects. You can learn a lot about yourself holding a trowel and bricks and a hammer and nails and a stick of lumber or a paintbrush. Jesus was a carpenter. Paul was a tent maker. Francis was an amateur bricklayer. There's as much blue collars as priest collars in the kingdom of God. He must have done something right. San Damiano still stands just outside of Assisi after 800 years. Jenny and I are taking another group there this summer, and some of you are coming with us, and we'll go to San Damiano. More than the San Damiano Chapel still stands from the humble spirit and listening ear and serving hands of Francis, a contemplative spirit born in him that day was part of his whole life. Better said, became his whole life and way of being in the world. He prayed and he listened. He laughed and he sang. Everywhere he looked, he saw the presence of Christ in neighbor and stranger and brother and sister and ones who were hurting in all of creation. His life became a prayer, whether his head was bowed and eyes closed or whether he was walking in the trees with the birds. He didn't just practice contemplation. He lived it and breathed it. The pure in heart shall see God. His deepest prayer led to an intense imitation of Christ. Francis became Saint Francis, who is still honored, loved, and followed 800 years after his death. Contemplative prayer, practice in silence and stillness, births contemplative action born from interior peace and strength. It did for him, and it can for us in our own ways. Few times in history has there been a greater need for the church to practice some exterior silence and cultivate some interior peace. For one thing, we live in far away the most saturated visual and acoustic setting in history. Distractions are endless and relentless. And it's not long before our internal wiring gets reset to receive and then to seek all the distractions. I saw a story this week that university professors who are teaching film classes assign their students to go watch a movie, and they can't even make it to the end of the movie without looking it up online, what happens at the end. At no time in history have we been severed in thousands of different directions all at once until we come to seek it and embrace it. If Thomas Merton worried about spiritual deadening by American culture in the 1960s, and Simone Weil spoke of the fleeting sacredness of being able to pay close attention in the 1930s, how much more now? Silence. The gift. Stillness. The gift. A Sabbath. The gift. These old ways are either embraced with intention and devotion, or they wither. And if they wither in our practices and our spirits, we become calloused to the gifts of contemplation. We become cold to the presence of God. And it's vital that we not. Because contemplation is described sometimes as the gift of a penetrating vision into the reality of the way things actually are. Past surface level illusions or masks or lies. Those we're told and those we then tell ourselves. A contemplative Christian community in America today is a port in a raging storm. It's an eye in a hurricane of noise. It's a sure foundation in a time when some of the tallest castles that are being built on the sands of half-truths and greed and raw power and violence and fear. And they must fall, but God's kingdom will not fall. And the church must participate in God's kingdom come. God's kingdom come to us and lived through us in the world. How would an intention to contemplation and contemplative community shape your life this year? There's no program here to lay it out. There's just a simple invitation into the life of God, which is not so simple after all. In it, you might be reassured to be just who you are already becoming. You might be totally transformed. You might receive a grace and a forgiveness of your sins that you so desperately seek and you think is elusive beyond you. You might be renewed in the joy of your salvation. You might find courage to deal with some things you've been hiding from for a long time. This is all God's work. Contemplation isn't an effort or a presumption to be bigger or to achieve important things for God who needs us somehow to be more powerful. Indeed, it's a resistance to such illusion. Let us embrace such resistance. Francis called himself and his friends the Friars Minor, the Little Brothers. Contemplation is the path to becoming smaller and quieter before a God whose glory and goodness grows grander. It's an intention in the prayer, I must decrease, he must increase. I will listen that God may speak. I will pay attention that God may show me the way. I will keep open hands that God's pierced hands may take mine and his own and lead me the way to the cross. Walk humbly with your God. Let this be and intention this year. Let these words fill our breath as we pray, to fill our minds. Let our words be soaked in them. Let us walk. Let us walk humbly. Let us walk humbly with God. And let this be our prayer together. As we walk together through all that life brings into this day and into this year, and let it guide our steps as we walk to the table of our Lord. Let us hold one another in prayer as we prepare to come to the Lord's table.